Hi, and hello all, y'all, you dudes, yous guys. What's happening? What's going on? What's shaking? And how's your mom and them? Thanks so much for streaming or downloading or however you're listening right now. Am I right how great it is that there's so many options to enjoy content these days? It just makes me really grateful being raised, you know, with vinyl records, then 8-tracks, then cassettes, then CDs, and VHS, and Laserdisc, DVDs, right? Blu-ray. Remember how cool Blu-ray DVDs were when they came out? But CDs, that was the mind-blowing thing for me. I remember my buddy Chris Koenig down the street got the first CD player I'd ever seen, and he put on a disc, and the crazy cool thing I remember was the fact that you could now just forward directly to the song that you wanted, right? No scrolling through a cassette, no trying to, put the needle on the right spot, no 8-tracks. Remember 8-tracks where you just had to wait until the song came around again? I mean, and I could rant on forever about our, you know, ever-changing music world and world in general. And speaking of that, I've got my good friend Alex Jones from InfoWars on the line to help me intro the show today. Now, hey, Alex, so many just push you aside and call you a conspiracy theorist and all that, and you're a conspiracy guy. And I mean, but it seems like the once crazy theories aren't so crazy anymore, man. What say you?
Well, Tim, I tell you, the globalists are taking over. I mean, I've been talking about it for years. People make fun of me. I don't care. They can make fun of all they want. But I've done the research. The Jacobins, the Freemasons, all those guys, they're taking over. And they want to control how you think. They want to control what you say. They want to control what you eat. They want to take away the meat.
I mean, you just feel that negative about it?
Well, I've read the articles. I can give you article after article how the New World Order, Great Reset, Joe Biden, just look at his name, J-O-E, three letters, Biden, 5 letters, 3-5. You go up 7-9, all the way up to 666. I mean, it's just that.
It does seem like somebody is in control of something. Just so many weird things are happening with the COVID and all. Do you think there's people involved in, you know, behind the scenes?
Well, Bohemian Grove, the Bilderbergs, just keep going, the Freemasons, McDonald's, Wendy's. All these, the George Soros-funded organizations, Bill and Melinda Gates. I mean, Melinda Gates is a lizard person. Actually, she's an alien lizard who was raised under a rock. You look at photos back from the late. I have the docs right here. I've got the photos. Melinda Gates back in the late 70s. Look at her pupils. They go up and down and not in a circle like a human being.
I've never looked at that. I guess I could.
Yeah, Google it, Tim. I mean, it's all there.
Now, Alex, you said something about McDonald's. How does McDonald's have anything to do with this craziness?
Tim, you don't even know. Did you realize? I was reading this article, and I could send it to you right now. I could send it to you, email to you, whatever you want, however, whatever format. I could text you, whatever. McDonald's M&M McFlurries, the number of M&Ms has dropped 20% per year for the last 10 years. That's not the first time this has happened, Tim. I tell you what, when you notice the McFlurry M&Ms are going down, you better practice your goose-step, my friend, because it's Nazi Germany all over again.
Alex, that sounds insane. Are you serious?
Tim, that's not even the start. Do you realize that right now there's a lab in Bern, Switzerland, that they're injecting worms with a chemical that's making them radioactive? They're mating with chickens, and the chickens are laying demon eggs that are taken over the major mountain ranges of the world. Read the articles, Tim. It's all there, black and white. They're coming for the guns.
Well, that's kind of crazy. I hope the show will give you a little bit more hope than that. And Alex, just stay off the, you know, just give yourself a break and stay off the social media and the news just for a while. It seems like it's affecting you.
Well, it is kind of Joe, and I appreciate.
I'm not Joe Rogan. This is Tim Hawkins.
I don't know. I'm getting worn out and just burn out. I need to take a break or something, or go for a walk. Maybe I'll just do that.
Yeah, just take a walk. And. But thanks for calling in, and everybody, just sit back. I think this is going to be a little more laid back, and don't stress out. Everything's going to be okay, and please just do your best to enjoy the next installment of the Tim Hawkins Podcast.
They're coming for the guns.
Bing, bong, bing. We're on. We're recording, everybody.
Do people really believe birds aren't real?
What's the thinking behind birds aren't real?
I'm more on the fan of put a bird on it. Put a bird on it.
I've always believed put a bird on it. Birds make everything better. Birds are actually fascinating. I think that's one of the things I know. As I'm getting older, birds are more fascinating.
You're going
to
start watching birds.
Yes. I think I could.
Yes, I think I could now.
Binoculars?
Yeah, yep. If I had some, and I would totally sounds. Watch birds.
My dad never thought that would be a thing, but it actually seems legit.
I think I love birds now, too.
I love
birds. Liv, name all the birds you know.
I know a blackbird, a raven bird.
A bluebird.
Bluebird, yeah. Red bird, yellow bird.
Yellow bird.
Don't think these are.
Bird.
Purple bird.
Purple bird.
Purple bird, man. Y'all see the purple birds out?
Pigeons.
That's a purple bird. Shh.
Oh, pigeons.
That's the song of the purple bird.
Any good other names?
Peacock.
That's a bird.
That's a bird.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a purple bird.
You know, I know all the birds.
Is it true that you can, outside of a predatory bird, you can shoot non-singing birds?
What?
Something like that.
That's a law? Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you can shoot non-singing birds where?
Yeah, non-song birds.
Where?
Well, anywhere, I think. Well, at least where I live. Well, I lived in the sticks, so at, like any time there was a non-song bird, my dad was like, go get out there with the BB gun.
Oh, that's so sad.
Well, what's not sad? John Krasinski.
No, I have a good memory about this, though. Remember we had all those geese?
The Quiet Place.
Olivia, when they came all those geese. This is in Cottleville. And we had those nice bow and arrows for bow hunting.
Yeah.
What was the
bows brand? Bows and Rows.
What was the name of the brand,
though? Matthews.
Matthews. And so nice. We had
I did a gig
nice
for Matthews Bow Maker, and they also make McPherson guitars, and they gave us these compound bows. He's like,
you still have them?
See, I've never had a bow and arrow, and you get like the best they make.
Well, they didn't go hunting. They didn't hunt, but here all these birds are out on our property, 300 or more,
right.
And I would tell the boys to go out there and just use
they
those
did,
bows
right?
and start shooting the birds from the deck.
Wait, geese?
Yeah, the geese.
Yeah.
This is sad.
What happens if you shot one? What would you do if you shot one?
They just hit it through their feathers.
Pluck and
need
it. Oh, you would destroy a goose with an arrow.
If you knew what you were doing. But they didn't really know what they're doing.
Well, one time I may or may not have shot a bird with a BB gun when I was young buck. And it was snowing outside. So it dropped. It was a pretty impressive shot because it was a BB gun. It dropped, fell on the ground, was bleeding out. And then we walked outside to go see it. And a hawk came down, swooped up, picked it up right in front of us. Right outside our house.
Did it do the noise?
It did.
Well, that's pretty
I feel like
dramatic.
There's two types of people. The people who go out of their way to kill a bird, and then the people like me who pray that a bird gets out of my way so that I don't kill it. When I'm driving, I literally pray. I'm like, Lord, I pray that this bird leaves, so that I don't have to hit it.
Yeah.
Have you hit a squirrel yet? Last week I was driving and the squirrel just ran directly. And you see it where it kind of dazes it. You're like, oh no. Because what happens is...
I think Libby hit an armadillo before, didn't you?
Armadillos.
No, I did not hit an armadillo
when the kids were little in Texas. Ugh.
Really? Have you ever heard somebody run over a turtle?
It would ruin my day.
They explode.
It pops, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, I hate this conversation.
Really?
This is like...
It makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, we were talking about... did we say something about vegetables?
What? Maybe. We made some...
Did you? I saw just a cool TikTok. This girl. It was it's Switch. Is that what it's called? When somebody does a video, but then somebody else comments on it right after.
A stitch. Yeah.
It's called a stitch, right? Yeah. So somebody will say a quick something, and then they're reacting to their video, right? So this girl, she's like, she said something to the effect of, "Yeah, I hate to tell VeggieTales that your main character is a fruit."
Right.
Right? Because I guess the tomato. Right. And this girl comes and stitches it, and she goes, "Actually, there's no such thing as a vegetable. Vegetable just means a food you can eat."
What?
Well, she goes down and says, well, a cucumber, that's just a melon. And a lettuce, that's a leaf. And broccoli, that's a flower. He's eating a flower.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well,
No,
I agree. Because what do they always say? What is the difference between a fruit and a vegetable? Fruits have seeds.
Yeah.
Right? But so do vegetables.
Yeah.
And then you get into rationale of vegetables. And then like a pepper.
Yeah,
that's a fruit because it's a fruit of a plant.
Right.
Yeah. But when you get into broccoli or carrots or those are all
carrots are root.
Yes. Same with potatoes.
Potatoes a tuber. It's called
that's
tuber.
That's so funny because I was making my list for Soulard for the farmer's market. I was like fruits and veggies, and then I was like, all my veggies are fruits. And in that moment I thought I don't care.
I think
these are going to be my veggies and these are going to be my fruits.
Yeah.
I don't care what the rules
are. They're characterized as vegetables, but they're just the fruit of the plant.
That makes total sense.
This topic is so invigorating.
It's so riveting.
It is interesting, though, isn't it? Because it's...
Dad brought it up.
Well, it's... Because you don't say... You say that's vegetation, even if it's... You don't say that's fruitation. It's just vegetation.
It's true.
I say fruitation.
A bunch of vernacular all.
Is it vernacular or vernacular?
Vernacular.
Not sure.
I thought it was interesting. No, well, it was not as interesting as pirates. We were doing pirate talk, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm. What's a pirate's favorite exercise?
I don't know.
A plank?
The plank.
The plank. Now, you're watching a thing. You're watching a thing on. You're watching an actual thing on pirates. On,
I was.
Is it Netflix or something?
Netflix.
Pretty interesting stuff.
It is.
I mean, before, is it good for the family to watch?
No.
Or
is it
rated?
Would not say.
Is it rated R?
Come on.
That's good.
Libby.
Just drown me now.
Better walk the plank.
Here's the thing.
That's right.
Is that it's pirates and they like do a real history of pirates. And they are not necessarily the most family-friendly people in existence.
But it's really fascinating.
There's a few iffy scenes, but justify it because it's
history. Watch your language there, boy. Watch your language.
It is super interesting because it kind of breaks down the origin of pirates in like the Americas and how it all started in this early 1700s. And I don't know the history of all pirates, but generally when we think of pirates of the Caribbean, we think of like the Americas.
Yeah.
And it broke down kind of how they were English naval people, right? And then eventually they stopped funding the Navy. And then these people were just left in Cuba with boats.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that.
So they just had to survive. Is that what
you're saying? Yes. And then they like created their own society. And then they started robbing the Spanish and French. And then the Spanish would ditch their, I guess, country, and then they would start robbing English ships, and then they would turn into pirates, and then, because you can make so much money off these merchant ships that were traveling. And then eventually, I'm sure they tailor it in a way to make England seem bad, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But they make the pirates seem good in the sense that they would capture slave trading ships, and the pirates would set the slaves free to work on their ships, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you kind of get on the pirate side, because in a way, they're kind of being like Robin Hood, like England's coming to these places, taking all the gold and silver and jewels from Americas and bringing them back to England. And they're like, well, you technically stole from us, and then they were just giving back.
Weren't they?
And they were stranded. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing now. It's like when you watch the musical Wicked, it's like you have to have the Wicked Witches part of it. And by the end of it, you're like, she's
the good one.
The good one.
Yeah.
Right. Or, oh gosh, what else? Like Darth Vader, you know, Darth Vader, you do the subsequent Star Wars and they show him as a kid, cute little kid. Right. No, I don't want to see him.
Exactly. The origin story.
You want to be mad at him.
Yeah.
At the end.
Can't there just be good and evil? There's a reason this guy's the way he is.
Right.
But
it's really fascinating though.
It was extremely fascinating because I had no idea because I always just thought pirates bad.
Right. Yeah.
And then other people good. But
I mean,
they
it
were
makes
just
sense.
Creating their own society on the seas.
They were just rebelling against like corrupt English people, like the
so really kind of their own country. I mean, because that's the way that's the way countries did it from the beginning was conquest, right? I mean, they didn't really have robust economies. Yeah. They just had
they
to take people's stuff.
Why they sent them out there though, and then why did they abandon them?
I don't know. I think the conquest was over and they didn't have funding to bring them back, or they recruited them from the mainland and then they just left them to
that's wild,
you know. But I mean, I'm sure that happens in a lot of countries.
You know what the sound they make when like a pirate would stab someone with their sword?
Yeah, it's here.
The hotel. That's what they the hotel.
The what? What'd it say?
Or sometimes like when they would just shoot him in the gut, they would, that would be the last thing. Were you here when I made those?
That was great.
Oh, mom
Grandma,
was here.
Yeah.
And I just made a couple of these noises that I make.
That's really funny.
And so that's like, what are you talking about? So I went back and I...
That's weird.
That's terrible.
Because it sounds like you're doing it now. Not a
play. Well, how I can put them together? The hotel. The hotel. And then I make it a horror movie.
The hotel.
The hotel.
That's amazing.
Oh, my
God. You never know what's going to happen in this show. I want to bounce it around. Don't you love the randomness?
It's amazing.
Well, you had an interesting topic too. I want to hit on, you said something about, and it is so true, looking up recipes.
Yes.
What is it when you look up a recipe, you have to scroll through
books,
a blog.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I just want how many cups of this, how many tablespoons?
Exactly.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh, no. Like, you have to read the narrative.
Yeah. 1754, my family landed in America.
Right. It's like a casserole narrative.
Yeah. Jeez. It's like I'm trying to make pancakes because we ran out of pancake mix. Just tell me the recipe.
Yeah. Please. This is what I just was saying.
Maybe that's what you could do. You could like be a narrator for like recipe blogs.
I don't know. Oh, gosh.
But they all are like that. It's really weird.
It's so annoying.
Everyone you look up.
Yeah, they're all like that now.
It is.
It's like, just tell me the stuff.
Can't it just be like, mom, you just get the index card. Here's how you do it.
Exactly.
There you go.
It's terrible.
I just want to click on it, and then it just shows recipe.
Yeah.
Like just a blank page with like someone wrote it down.
Yeah. The thing that I hate is they'll be like
cursive, in cursive.
In cursive. And like you don't know if it's a 3 or an E.
Right.
Oh, here's the way moms used to do it. They used to have plastic sleeves
for
the index cards. Yeah.
Flip them.
Yep.
And her writing's so nice.
Oh, my mom's handwriting was the best. She's a third grade teacher, so of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
She made a great.
I was in the third grade. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, what I hate about those is they'll like tell you all the times they tried to make it and what happened each time.
Oh gosh.
So they'll be like, the first time I made this, like, I guess I just didn't put enough baking soda in. So it didn't puff up the way that I wanted to. And then the second time I made it, I actually went to a different store this time to get, the baking soda. And when I tried it again, it just wasn't the right consistency.
Wait, have you?
Yeah.
And then the third time I made it, it like finally worked out perfectly. Yeah. I'm like, and I don't care.
I've never read them. Have you guys ever read them?
No, never. I think what they should do is say, same. Here are the ingredients, here are the directions, and then put all that other stuff at the bottom.
But nobody
in case you want to do some more research.
Really. I wonder. I don't know. Maybe they get like advertisements or like scrolls or some sort of. I wonder what benefits them, because wouldn't it be easier for them just to put the recipe up?
Hey, I need a chocolate chip cookie recipe, 800 words. Can you have it to me by the 14th?
Yeah. Well, I think it's like their job now. That it's like a job to be a blogger. So that's your job.
Yeah.
So you're putting all your time into that.
That's just like our own website of recipes. Like no
one cares. I read the best lemon bars recipe. It would just change me.
Yeah.
Changed my life. I mean, because the people, I went to this one, but they're using Monsanto chemicals. I can't use that on my babies.
I just will look it up and then go to YouTube videos of how people make them.
That is actually
that's the best way. But you can't get the ingredients very easily. That's
they
the
do
problem.
Also
it's just the cups.
Paste the YouTube video onto the.
Well, then you go to TikTok. They'll give it to you in 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Here's how you make a full 8-course meal in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're like, I can do that.
It's wondrous. Growing up, I watched a lot of. Because we didn't have cable, so I watched a lot of like PBS programming with their cooking shows, like America's Test Kitchen and Simply Bing. They were awesome. They would do like a 5 minutes, and then they would just show you exactly what to do, and then they would just do the next recipe, and it was amazing.
I know,
but now
it's
just this huge production.
When we were a kid, it was fun because we could see Julia Childs back then.
Oh, yeah.
On PBS and the Galloping Gourmet. Do you remember him?
I do. Was he French?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then they had
he was very flamboyant.
Well, then they had
funny.
The Cajun guy.
Oh my gosh, that guy was
talk
so
about
rough.
Before Emeril, he was like,
And those were the PBS
honey
guys.
Put some honey on there.
I love that's how he talked. Yeah, he was really
honey on that chicken. You put that chicken down, they're gonna get that chicken down there. They're gonna be a bad thing you put in your mouth. Put a bad thing you put in your mouth.
Did you ever watch like Grilling University or whatever is on PBS? You would have like 50 grills.
Wow.
It was crazy. He would utilize a lot of them.
Yeah.
But
those guys are hardcore. They do their own, like, they do charcoal, but they know how to do temperatures and all that kind of stuff.
And then they do, like, notes of, like, hickory. I'm like, what is that?
Hickory.
Yeah.
Notes.
Yeah.
Liv, you look amused.
Oh, yes, I am.
She loves to cook.
I love hickory pebbles. Cajun. What do they call them?
I don't know.
Pellets?
They do pellets now.
Thank you. Droplets.
The droplets. I don't know. I found I'm just loving TikTok. It's just amazing. It's like the opposite of Twitter to me. Like Twitter started really fun and then it got really wacko, crazy, mean.
Mm-hmm.
And TikTok, it kind of started mean, but now I'm finding
the fun side
of it. And like inspiration, like it'll bring you to tears kind of stuff because people actually sharing with you, if you find the right people, right?
They you just got to get your feed right.
You have
right.
to cultivate your For Your page to be what you want to see.
Yes. And that works. Mm-hmm. My question is do they know how long you watch a video?
Oh, yeah.
Or have you scroll something?
They track it, all of that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, amazing, yeah. terrifying.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going to say, right. maybe a few other ones.
But also that's great. Super cool. Because it's like, I yeah. want to see all this stuff. So.
It's so, I just, to they give you all these tools to make these videos, and it's just the editing and the things you can put on it. And really, it's just about content. It's not so much about how sharp it is or the production doesn't have to be good. It's really about the material first.
Yeah, definitely.
And so creative. But I think it was today, this morning, I saw this lady and I just cracked up. She's just like, you know, she's got a few million followers. She's like the housewife, kind of has kids. And this just cracked me up. So she's going through her house, just kind of, this is my house. It's awesome. You want to see? And she brings in, let's see if we can hear this, I think.
You guys love these. I like to normalize being normal. Life without the filter. Let's walk around my house so we can feel better about yours. Here in my laundry room, don't mind the light. It's not working for some reason. My washer and dryer. There's a load in here I fluffed 8 times, and we're at the point now that I have to rewash the clothes in the washing machine.
That's so true.
Here we see my bed. Notice the sheet is off the corner yet again. I can't keep that thing on. Remnants of my toddler's breakfast. Should we take a look? 3 bags of chips that all still have chips in them, and some apples and peanut butter. Great. Let's join hallway laundry. It's hallway toilet paper I bought in bulk and have no room to put anywhere else. I just found half a lime on my sink. Emily, that's disgusting. I know. My toddler today, every time I've said no, just screams yes really loud right back at me. When asked who the boss was, she said herself. She's not wrong. The key ring has 3 oven mitts.
She goes,
the key rings have 3 oven mitts.
That's amazing. That's so good.
That reminds me of
Snapchat.
That's so
funny. Remember the Snapchat one where the lady was like taking all the pictures and the kid's falling off the roof and he's breaking his leg and she's like, oh. And she gets out of the bathtub and she's, you know, fully clothed.
Oh my gosh.
It's just that same flair to it. Like, nothing's perfect.
Yeah, and a washer. I had to fluff this laundry 8 times.
That's so true.
And the corner, see, your mom and I, the corner fitted sheet always comes off.
Yep.
You wake up, it's off the thing.
If it comes off on his side, then it comes off.
We will, put that thing, 3 feet underneath the mattress, jamming it, but it'll still fling right back up. And then the toilet paper where she can't find anywhere to put it. It's like, it's like where are we putting all this toilet paper? Put it under the bed, behind the TV.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There are TikToks that are similar to that where it'll be like a girl. She's like, this is my husband's contribution to my designing. Cause they'll have these super aesthetically pleasing houses. So it's like, this is my husband's contribution to my aesthetic. So it'll be like a super cute, bathroom or something, and then his clothes are just spread out all along the floor, and then it'll be and he just, you know, he just really loves to just add a little flair to the kitchen counter. So here are some 2-day-old left out bread and some jam that's still smeared on the countertop. Yes. So he it'll just
so funny. That's funny.
There's one lady. They had a this lady there's a knock on the door. The lady comes to the door. She says, "Hi, you pleasant lady. Hi, you know," she's got the frilly flowers on the wall and the little, you know, live, laugh, love sign in the back.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you that it looks like your husband was hit by a bus." And she goes, "I know, he's always looked like that." Oh, gosh. She's just trashing him. But they had one, it's just so creative. Well, the one they had, this is like the difference between a woman and a man folding a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And they show the woman, she's not even looking at it. It's like all folded. She's running the iron. If she throws it, it lands perfectly folded. And the guy's like, he's ironing, just lining it up and all that. And it ends up all crumpled.
So funny.
It's like, I can understand that, like with folding a fitted sheet.
Yeah. Impossible.
It's, but you do it so well. And
you just tuck the ends into each other.
Yeah.
And then you fold
I've
it
watched
up.
So many videos and I still can't get it right.
Yeah.
I literally did step by step, pause the video, and still.
Okay, here's a question for you, Luke. Have you ever folded her clothes?
No.
No.
It's folding women's clothing.
It's impossible.
It's.
Wait, why?
How do you? Because it's so flimsy.
Oh.
It's
well,
so
those
just
are the
like
ones you hang up. You're supposed to hang those.
Well, no, not everything. Not the undergarments.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you end up just balling it up. Yeah, she'll find a place.
Yeah, mine
for
are
it.
In little sections anyway. I just stick it in. I don't hold them.
Well, and the different blouses are different sizes. Cause I'm used to just like a t-shirt.
Right.
I know how to fold a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But you have
different
so many
lengths.
Different
no,
and
that's true.
And
tassels hanging off of it.
Yeah.
And you got to wrap the tassels around like a cord.
And I don't know what to hang up and what to fold.
That's nice.
Well, I don't know.
I appreciate it.
Well, I do your best. And then your underwear garments are usually kind of silky, so they slide off. You can't make a nice pile because they slide off.
TMI.
Whoa!
Well, just for the record, you don't have to fold those. So.
Oh, I got panties are hard to fold too. They have so many things, many attachments.
Yeah, tassels.
Suspenders. Sequins.
Tassels. Do you have tassels on your under?
Hey.
Fishnet.
Hey.
You know, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It is like the new married life because it's 2 years, right?
2 years tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 4/20.
That's right.
The grass couple. 420.
420, that's right. Baby.
Libby's the original OG. Well, that's
OG.
I am not the original, but I am my nephew's second one.
So is it like the intimacy and not the physical, but I mean just that we're knowing a lot about each other, how you live life. Has that been kind of natural or has it been kind of shocking or has it been?
Well, first.
She grew up with boys. Well, you grew up with sisters too.
Yeah, true. Both. First year was more difficult. Second year's, I think, way easier as far as like getting to know them and not feeling offended by saying certain stuff. Or
it's kind of probably like having kids.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, like the first kid is just, you're all, I think, stressed out and, you know, and then second kid, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And third kid.
Third kid goes back to the first kid. You're back stressed again because you're outnumbered.
Oh, I'd say the hardest part is like we just grew up so differently. So it's like having to.
How did you grow up differently?
Like, I didn't know that. Financially, just so we think so differently when it comes to money. Because he grew up like his dad worked and didn't make a lot of money, and there was like five kids, and like you worked, and you know, you give us anything we want. So.
Welcome, welcome, welcome! I'm Dax Shepherd. I'm joined by Minister Mouse Monica Padman.
Hi there.
We have a really fun show we want you guys to join. We talk to celebrities and professors and lawyers and doctors and very smart, interesting people. And we find out how messy their lives have been, how many twists and turns it took to get to where they're at, and a general exploration on the messiness of being a human being. And of course, Monica's, you'll get updates about her
love
building
life.
Project, love life, you name it. So if you want to join us, please follow Armchair Expert to get new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Plus, find your other favorite podcasts free on Spotify.
Different. We're just very spoiled. And then it's just different to be like, oh my gosh. Like, also, I feel like we grew up where like we never had to think about money or care about it in the terms of like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But for him, it's like he had to pay for his... When he was 12 years old, he had to pay for a baseball bat and a glove to play. And he had to pay for his year, like, to play baseball. Where it's like, if I ever wanted to, like, play volleyball, you would buy me everything I needed for it. And then I was like, nah, I don't really like this. And I go on to the next thing. Oh, soccer. And then, okay, we're going to get you cleats, this. Oh, okay, great, great, great. On to the next thing. Golf, okay, clubs, all this stuff. Like,
that is the Hawkins like, thing, though.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, but like, still, it's like so different than the way that he was raised. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, let's just do this. We'll just go get this. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, no.
We do that. I was like, I know.
Tim was like, I think I'm going to start biking. And when they go, start something,
right.
They want to get like a Lance Armstrong bike. I'm like, well, you're not a professional. So you got to get one from a garage sale first and then... But their family doesn't work like that.
It was just, you know, it was really weird.
And all of y'all.
When you were a little youngin', you know, I was working nights, pulling in a cool 14 grand a year.
Right? Seriously.
And then
I went, everything was from a garage sale, your birthday gifts, everything.
Heather would make our own wet wipes, right? Just soapy water on some Bounty towels, you know?
They were way better, though, than the real ones.
It did work.
Just for the record, but they were way cheaper.
And we would like reuse Ziploc baggies and those.
And I would shop around for the cheapest, like Big Lots, Aldi's, like wherever I could get the certain thing the cheapest is where we shopped back then.
So I think we never took it for granted, you know, because that was the thing where it switched really quick from being able to pay the bills to not pay the bills you know, because I used to be, we had that credit counseling thing where we had this credit card debt, probably $13,000 in credit card debt or something like that. And they had to consolidate all our debt. And I had to take a check to Denton County this office and hand it to them every month.
Jeez.
Every month. It destroyed our credit. They didn't tell you that.
Yeah, we destroyed our credit. Did that, though.
And I just remember that was the biggest thrill, I think, of as far as money was being able to pay that off and not having to do that again. Just getting out of debt. That was, I still remember being very thankful.
But it was weird because we were making ends meet. I was working. You were working. And what, even when we had Levi. And then all of a sudden, once Todd became your manager and you're making all these great shows and the whole thing transformed, it's like we skipped a whole thing.
It is
like
weird.
We went from one extreme almost to another. I never felt deprived, though. I just felt like we had to find other ways to do it.
Right. We would just say, hey, kids, go out and it wasn't a fresh lawn, go out and roll in the mud or whatever. It's just, hey, go play in the dirt.
Yeah.
They're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids didn't know. I mean, spent all your birthday gifts for the first 5 or 6 years were from garage sales. Mm-hmm. Nothing was new.
So you guys, so it was different in like financially, what other, anything else?
I mean, yeah, it's just like grew up totally different. Like we're like, as far as like education goes, like in my family, like they were very much of the mindset, like you have to go to college. You don't have to go to college, but that's kind of like the idea is like you go to college, you get a job, you do that stuff. Yeah. But what I see as a trend in your guys' family is like more dreamer mindset, if that makes sense. Like you can literally do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And there's like actual representation of that rather than like in my family, I'm like, we have an accountant, nurses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not like frowned upon in any way, but that's just how my mind and like everyone we were friends with, is just like, well, you go to college and then you get a job and then you just like pay your bills and do that stuff. And it's just very different. And I appreciate the other mindset because that helps me think vastly different, but I was just raised.
Yeah.
And then
balance though.
Yeah. And then church was different. I was more conservative. And then, so it's just completely different family. But.
And then,
more
what are we?
Charismatic.
Yeah. Carabapticostal.
Yeah.
We'll go.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I tell people. I can fall asleep in any denomination when I was a kid.
We don't even it's like whatever.
But it's all, I mean, it just takes a team no matter what you do. That like when you, like being a dreamer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it takes so many other people to support you and help that happen. And,
yeah. Well, it's
funny because like our family, I would say, all of our cousins, all the siblings now, I don't think many of them have like normal jobs. Like they're all pretty, what do you love to do? And then I'm just going to do it like Cole, like I'm just going to be an actor and just go for that.
Yeah.
And then like graphic design or
being
in the military, you know, like whatever.
Gnome cones. Like that's
very started thing. Like a lot of them have their own business. And now like Spencer Keegan has her own business, like all this. They're all dreamers. And I was just kind of in that same mindset. Like, yeah, like I just want to find what I love to do. And like, I just want to save all my energy for that.
Yeah, but
Luke's like, well, you have to start somewhere. Like you can't just like be like, well, one day maybe I'll do this or maybe I'll do like, he's like, you got to start with something. Cause I was just like waiting. And so
I think you should tell us what you do. Cause you do a lot of cool stuff. And whenever a friend asks me, I'm like, there's so many things she does. That I kind of give them the baseline, but I think it'd be fun if you told.
Yeah, I mean,
what you do.
My main income comes from like Instacart.
But the thing that's interesting though, because people struggle with Instacart, and yet how long have you done it for?
Like 2 years.
And you've done well, right? Would you say she's done well
for
at
sure.
it? And have you worked the system? Because other people say, oh, this is hard and that's hard. I'm like, Livy doesn't seem to have these problems.
I just know the right ones to pick.
Okay. So you've got that down to a science.
Yes. And then...
Honey, I could pay you. You don't have to work.
Oh.
Just tell me.
So, well, you already do because I do all your merch stuff. So
you pay Olivia for that too because she does the merch.
I'm just sweating here. I just really don't.
But like as far as like the dreaming type stuff, like I've always loved like art and like more like creative stuff. And so Luke's like, okay, well, like you need to start somewhere. So I'm in school for like graphic design, which I don't know what I really want to do with that, but it's like a step in the right direction.
How does that work? Is that online classes? And
yeah, it's all online. And then you have like all the...
And who do you take that through?
So it's through the New York Institute of Art and Design. And a lot of the learning, honestly, I've learned from YouTube, but through this, like I'll get a certificate that'll help me to like actually work in that field. But
you are applying it to your Etsy shop.
Yeah, so
what
I have an Etsy
learned
shop.
At the graphics.
So, I don't know. It's just nice to have something where it's like, okay, like this is more of what I like to do. And it's a step in the right direction as far as like, okay, I like the arts. I like that kind of like mindset. So like whether it be interior design or if I keep doing like graphic design, I guess I'll just find out, which I feel like is the mindset of our whole family, which for sometimes Luke's does not really understand my mindset most of the time. Cause I'm even like, well, yeah, you know, like after this graphic design, like, I don't really know where that'll take me. Like God will, I'm sure like bring up, like there will be opportunities cause there always has been. Cause I've just every like forever all my life, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. And then God's like, how about like this door opens? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, this is awesome. Going to do that. And then I don't worry about like 2 years from now what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
Cause I know that something will just come up. Yeah. But Luke's like, what are you talking about? Like Luke's like, it drives him crazy. Cause he's like, what do you mean you don't know what you're going to do in 3 years? Like, I'm like, I don't know. I could die before then.
Like, I could die. Yeah.
And it's, and to be fair, that's probably Tim's mindset and definitely my mindset. Oh, that's really, that's probably your mindset too. Like,
of,
well I mean, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to do this and then I'll see how long this lasts.
It's all about building your skill set, you know, to make yourself more valuable in the marketplace.
Right. I always think of that.
It's just
all experience. It's like when I started comedy, I didn't get really paid much, but I thought the experience was the pay.
Right.
Yeah. So graphic design, whether it's learning stocks, where it's, you know, all that stuff, all that stuff, the more, you're just making yourself more dynamic and valuable.
And even through like Instacart, it's very humbling because it's like, you're serving people. You are the like working class when you're working that.
So and you're also, you guys have done enough public speaking, which I think would be the number one thing.
Yeah, because you're also youth pastors if you can at
take,
our church.
Yeah, if you could take that, your skill set, and be able to, you know, communicate, especially in front of audiences where it's teaching or instructing or inspiring or whatever.
Yeah.
That's where you take it enough. If you're like with Spencer, he's doing construction, but he can also deal with the customers. He can also communicate with him. And that's huge.
That is huge.
I care more about that when I'm hiring a guy to do work at the house. Definitely. Like, is he calling back? Is he texting? Is he pleasant?
Yep.
You know,
Because
I don't like conflict. I don't like,
right.
I think the strange thing is like, I guess with the career that I'm in currently, which is like finance, you almost have to have like a 5-year kind of plan.
Right.
And if you don't have a 5-year plan, like then you have like a gap period where it's like, well, I did this for a while and then I did this for a while. It like doesn't work because all the job whatever is like experience based. And then in order to build all these skills, it's just like a totally different thing.
Well, you got to keep up with it too. You
Because it's extremely like, it's always changing. Right. Yeah. It's crazy. And so,
I'm not on the thing.
Oh, on the microphone.
I have a question because you love that though, don't you?
I do enjoy it.
Yeah. So that helps you stay motivated by staying with that whole program and not stepping away from it.
Yeah. You know, but the problem with like, I was telling Liv this, there's no like in a career, at least from my perspective, is not like a quick, like you grind for a little bit and then you get like rewarded fully. Like if you do like a, let's say a workout or you do something for like 6 months, you can like work really hard and get in really good shape in 6 months. Or you can do, I don't know, school where you grind really hard and it's like you take finals and you get A's. But with work, it feels like it's going to be like 15 years of really, really hard or like 10 years really, really hard. Like waking up early, like not sucking up to your manager, but it's just like, you're just like putting in those hours and it's not a really rewarded very quickly. And that's like hard for me sometimes just because you grind every single day and you like sacrifice all this time. And then it takes a long time for that to like blossom out of
that. That's been the same for him, but just a different career path.
Very
incremental. But he had to grind. He had 3 jobs. I'd have 2 jobs for a good 17 years.
You feel kind of like, I felt kind of, it was a cool feeling though when I worked nights and I would have a night show and you do the night show in front of like 500, 600 people and just like rocks. And you come back and I'm working my night shift with Rob Robitaille.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. Doo-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Because think about it. When did you actually try to start doing comedy? We were in college. So that was in 1990. And then by the time you did full time.
91. Yep. So it was a little over 10 years.
By the time you did full time?
Yep.
So now, like you say, you were working nights, working 3 jobs, and you said it like dramatically switched at one point.
Newspapers.
Right. Yeah. You did a bunch of odd jobs. And you kind of, we talked about this before, but you kind of came on the cusp of like when you got semi-popular was like YouTube. But for now, like when people are trying to maybe like make it in some sort of entertainment industry, or they're trying to make it in some sort of other area of life, how would they go about it now? Because everyone's on YouTube. I feel like you don't have to go to LA or New York anymore. Like it's all just like content.
No,
we didn't know then even, but
no, it's all building your own fan base. It's I mean, these people on social media, I mean, they're building millions of followers. Literal millions of people who know who they are.
Right.
And a percentage of those people are going to buy a ticket to buy your merchandise, you know, come see you live.
Right.
Buy your book.
Right.
Come see your movie. Right. So really that's what I would highly recommend.
Yeah.
And don't get like I'm getting back on TikTok and doing social media again in that way, but I'm not kind of stressing out over the numbers and the likes.
Yeah. Right.
It's just really, I just want to make fun stuff that I think people will like.
Yeah.
And because I used to be kind of more addicted to the number.
You know?
Right.
Because that was what's the word? Not addicting, but it's just,
it's
a rush.
Serotonin.
It's a rush.
Yeah.
Like I had like my first kind of TikTok bump.
You know,
the Devil Shoes video.
Yeah.
And it just, it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get, and the next one doesn't get much. You know.
Yeah,
but
like,
it's,
Liv had it on her phone and I like, would just like look at the number, and it's just fun to see. Like, this is like blew up a little bit.
Jumping 10,000.
Yeah.
Think about when we first did YouTube, how wild it was, because there was hardly anything on it.
Yeah.
First of all. So then we'd be checking the numbers. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as a group would send it to another group, it would just, you know, jump about 10,000 people. And you're like, whoa, where are these 10,000 people coming from? Because we didn't even know the ins and outs of YouTube. We didn't even really understand it. We weren't watching any DIYs or any of that kind of stuff.
It was a beast that we didn't know.
We just,
and I bet you didn't know what it is.
Someone said, put your stuff out there. And so we did.
Well, it's crazy now too, because a lot of our celebrities and famous people are YouTube stars.
Like
we found them on YouTube. Yep. They have a huge fan base. Like we watched the Jake Paul fight or whatever the other night. And it was just like, who is this person? It's literally just a YouTuber who like boxes.
But it's amazing.
Whatever. And that like, they have these huge stars performing like, thousands of people are watching this and from someone that just got their start from doing YouTube.
It's crazy because it seems like the path that used to be in like from Will Ferrell or Jimmy Fallon or those guys is like they go up through SNL or they go up through the stand-up scene in Boston, New York.
Right.
Or in LA, if they wanted to go movies, they go to Hollywood and then they get some stupid job and then they do whatever. And then they try and get on a sitcom or whatever. And now there's so many avenues you can go towards that you can do yourself and for free on your phone. You have like a professional grade camera in your pocket.
Right.
That seems crazy. And I listen to a lot of Rogan, of course, but he says you just like a huge thing that people have to do is just be consistent with their content. It's just like,
consistent in the format or
just posting
daily.
Daily or weekly.
Why is that true?
Because if I'm listening to a podcast and I'm like, this is a good episode and nothing comes for another month, I'm not going to listen to another one. I'll forget that I even listened to the first one.
But you're saying even if you don't listen to the next one, you know it's there. So you know it's active and alive.
Also, if I find it a year later, I'm going to binge your entire channel.
Yeah.
If you have a YouTube channel, right now I'm on this dude named Casey Neistat or something like that. He's just a vlogger. He's like an original YouTube dude.
Oh, yeah.
And he has so much content that I can, and Binging with Babish and all these huge YouTube guys, I can just scroll through their content and just like pick randomly. But if you post every so often, I'm not really going to like spend time watching it.
Well, it is a job. I look at it now as like, that is my job.
Yeah.
Is okay. A more of a priority, not just wait till, but just constantly.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be produced crazy and.
Right.
You know, just a little idea, throw it out. I mean, I was at Whole Foods yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm in the Whole Foods and I go to the salad bar and that's just full of Budweiser beer and
chips.
That's
so funny. That's so crazy.
So funny.
And it's like, I'm thinking, it just cracks me up.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, you know, it's all about salad is the threatening thing now.
Yeah.
That's how crazy things have gotten.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So
I drink beer and chips instead. Yeah. It'd be super healthy.
That's really good.
Yeah. The first time I think that I knew that it hit on YouTube was, I don't know if you remember this one, this old, let's see.
I know, I was trying to think of
this old song.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about this.
Cute.
This opened up things for us.
Some people say we're goofy, mysterious and spooky. Our neighbors think we're kooky. a homeschool family. We drive a white conversion. We learn about the Persians. Our six-year-old's a surgeon. A homeschool family. We learn about creation and classic education. We're sponsoring a Haitian. A homeschool family.
Wait, does it say a Haitian?
Haitian, a Haitian from Haiti. Haiti.
No way.
I thought it's. I always thought it said nation.
The parents are
sponsoring a nation.
We build our own computers. We never go to Hooters.
Hooters reference always worried me. I said we're going to get flat for that. We never did.
Yeah.
Like these homeschoolers are cool.
Our 9-year-old's a lawyer.
That was Livy, the 9-year-old lawyer.
She takes and shoves them off to the side.
Our children are excelling. They're champions at spelling. A homeschool family.
Yeah, that's what opened it up.
Oh, man.
A little trivia, remember, that was when you were wearing, that was you're going through chemo.
Yes.
Wow.
And yeah, I love that wig, the pony, the
little braids.
Wow. Little braids.
Yes.
That was, Robert Sharp was my video guy, and he posted that. That was before, I think, YouTube. He just sent it to a couple of homeschool friends of his friends
who
were homeschoolers. And the next day, my brother's like, dude, Google homeschool family video.
Really?
Just page Numbers. After no hundreds way. Of
wow.
pages.
Yeah.
And so that kind so of like new, the secret, and we were talking about how do you build that, is you find like these subcultures
right.
within YouTube,
the
within
niche.
All these, the yes. niche, like people who like Chick-fil-A, people yeah. who are homeschoolers, people who like fishing, like please take the reel and all that.
So yeah.
That's what I would say.
That is good.
But there's things that you give advice. If somebody comes up to you and say, how do you get into comedy? I think there's two things that you do that are of good advice. This is good advice also, but you'll say, I don't know. I don't remember what the first one is, but the second one usually is, you gotta be good. You gotta be funny and you gotta be good. But what's the first thing you would always say?
Be yourself.
Yeah. Be yourself, write down everything and don't try to be like another comedian, but.
Right. It's like the, how you make your friends laugh, like how you make your friends laugh in the living room. That's pretty much.
That's probably the best piece of advice.
Yes.
Stick with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you can tell a story and make you're the people that you know, like actually laugh, that's
stick
probably
that.
Going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I think another thing you have done over the years is when you get an idea, you'll tell me, but you just tell me the idea. Awesome. You're not actually performing it. And I can say, oh yeah, I can totally see. Well, that will work. Yeah. On stage.
Yeah.
And then when a group of friends might be over or a few friends, you'll throw it out there. Mm-hmm. Like you've already told me. So I know you're throwing
like
it out there and you're like testing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's also like a little helpful hint thing to do.
Yeah, just try to stay away from doing a bit to your, especially
friends.
Your family. Just come up to them and say, hey, does this make sense to you, this idea?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
but you've done the, you've thrown it
can
out
you
there
relate
with a
to
group
that?
Of friends.
Yeah.
After you've, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how, okay, like you're saying finding a niche or like finding a, like the homeschoolers or Chick-fil-A people or whatever. But how many people are on YouTube or podcasting or music that create content that just sucks and they still have a huge following?
Yeah.
It is crazy. Like there is a niche for almost anything.
Yeah.
It seems like just like terrible singers, like a lot of singers, like Dixie D'Amelio, not a good singer in my opinion, but she has you might think so, but there are people like her, a lot of rap artists that I think are garbage, but they just have this like million people following. It's so weird.
Yeah. Well, it's that's the thing is you can't judge yourself. You can't.
Yes, that's a good
it. Just
point.
That's the deal, and you. Can, it's not. I guess perfection is your enemy, because you just never can.
Yeah.
You're never going to get there.
Well, not everybody likes the same thing, so it's just like you not liking
there's
the names you mentioned.
Yeah,
other people love that, and that's when you do your own thing, and maybe you don't get a laugh from certain type of people. You get a few bad comments from a certain type of people, but then you got this whole other.
That would be the third piece of advice is. Don't you're not everybody's going to like you. Don't stop trying to please everybody.
Right.
Find your niche, find your people and just
stick with it.
Stay true to that.
And then be cool with it. If they don't like you, say, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
I was like, I'm at a point where, a lot of my fan base is my age.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
That's what I do it for.
Yeah.
I mean, I never did comedy for the kids. There'd be kids at the show sometimes and people think, well, it's for the kids. No, it's fine if you bring them, but I'm not here for them.
Yeah.
Because I thought every time you did like a church thing or whatever, family oriented, it's really a kid thing and the family just have to, the parents just have to drudge through it. And,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, but yours has been pretty good in the past as far as making the youngest laugh to the oldest.
Yeah. You
at
have
least
like
on
young,
something.
A young following too, which is funny.
Yeah.
I can't, you can't try. You know, I cannot. I'm so out of touch with modern culture and music and stuff.
No, me too.
That's really true.
I know. Our friend was over today, James, and he's like total hippie guy. Yeah. He's a life coach and everything. But he's like, I was like, my kids say, you know, that's such a mom thing to say, or that's a mom way to dress. I'm like, oh, that's right. Because I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I'm not trying to be cool.
That's true.
Yeah. And I've got a bald spot. I just.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's just what it is.
I'm done. I guess just move on.
It. Well, because.
Yeah, embrace the.
Even at. Were you going to say something? Like at youth group, when we go to youth group and I'm 23 and I still don't know what they're talking about. They'll have a new saying every week and I'm still out of
it. Like, what?
Because I don't have, like, I delete most of my social media just because it's toxic in my brain.
Yeah.
And they're trying to take over the world.
They're all like, no cap.
No cap. Like, they're like, sheesh. They're doing all these things. And I'm like, it's kind of funny.
What does that mean, no cap?
No cap means,
like, not lying.
Not lying, but cap. Cap means lying. No cap means not lying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah, so I totally did that. No cap.
No, yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, I totaled my car. Cap. That means like you're lying. But no cap is not lying. Yeah.
You know what? You know what's saying?
How long has that been around?
I don't know.
What phrase I like is when people say full stop.
Full stop?
Right. I'm done with this. Full stop. It just means period.
Huh.
I just like that phrase.
Maybe, isn't that a.
No, full stop.
Isn't full. Maybe that's not true. Stop. Whenever I watch movies and they're telling someone to write for them, they'll say stop instead of period.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that one? Right. That's Kevin Sorbo. Well, he said, you remember Kevin Sorbo? He's like, he's a Christian guy, does like the God's Not Dead movies.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Really great guy. And he, what was it? He was Conan. Was he Conan the Barbarian or Hercules? He was Hercules on like national on NBC or whatever.
Way back, yeah.
And that's a famous story that he did. He there was a line where he read, it was in parentheses, and it just said frustrated. So he's supposed to say the line frustrated, but he actually he say the line in a frustrated way, but he said frustrated, and they kept it, and
that's
they kept
awesome.
It in the show.
That's so funny.
Because that happens to anybody.
Right? He read the parenthetical comment.
That's really hilarious. Funny.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day too, it was like the millennials, whatever, like, we all have some things that we say,
mm-hmm.
and then like the younger generation has things that they say.
Yeah.
But like, as that younger generation gets older, that will be considered at one time, like, that'll be like not cool. Like, they'll be parents and they'll say like no cap, and their kids will be like, stop saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, dad.
Yeah. Yep. That's why you don't care when you get this.
And no cap, Sean, no cap.
Well, for a while it was like a cut down to say if you said something on social media and they go, boomer.
Oh yeah,
right.
That's a compliment. I'm not even a boomer, but that's awesome.
Well, I always think about generation than my generation.
Yeah.
I always think about oldies, like on the radio.
Yeah,
like that's gonna be our music one day.
Gosh.
Like Bieber's gonna be an oldies,
right?
And they're gonna be like, "Are you listening to that again?"
Yeah, we'll be like,
and they're gonna be listening.
The
like their music's
days.
Gonna be like beep beep boop 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 boop
boop boop boop boop. Just robots.
Just robots.
Yeah, you remember when? Beep beep boop boop beep.
Wasn't here. Oh, you gotta.
No cap.
They'll probably just be listening to frequencies or something. Oh, really bad.
Right,
it's like.
Yeah. There won't even be earphones anymore. They'll just pick up on random.
No, like the radio signal. Yeah, the
they'll probably go back to like turn of the century music. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll probably get so hipster they'll start carrying around phonographs or something.
Right. Yeah. Don't doubt that will happen.
Yeah.
The CD. The portable CD player is coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'll walk into like a coffee shop or something, and it's like they get so hippie, like hip vibes or hip. Whatever, that they start to get, their products start to be like gross. Like the more hip and like organic it is, it kind of tastes like dirt, like even more. You know what I'm saying?
I get Starbucks.
Totally. It, like as many people, like maybe it's not the realest of coffees or the beans aren't as good. Drinks are good. But if you go to like an artisan coffee shop and you get like a Nicaraguan pour over, dirt sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Get it. Yeah.
It's like takes 45 minutes and you're just drinking mud. A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's maybe that's just what you're paying for. how should I say? It's like when like this house. I think I want to do a TikTok video of this house. Like, this is what it's like, 100-year-old house. And like, there's nails sticking up out of the ground. And there's, this is where water's leaking. And because you just, your house, your basement just floods when you have an old house.
Right.
Mike Jennings was telling me that. Yeah. It's just hydrostatic. Oh, yeah. Your just basement's going to flood. Yeah. So get over it.
Yeah.
So that's maybe that's the same thing. It's just that.
Well, yeah. It's just, it's with,
we're paying for the
now.
Creaks and the damage and the well, wear and tear.
Like new movies now that are like, hip movies are like very, I don't know, these new movies that are coming out, they're so true to life that they're so boring.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's this new movie called Sound of Metal.
Right.
And a lot of movies have like, they'll start and then they'll like peak, you know, like they start mellow and then they go up and there's a great story. And then they peak and then they dive down and they go back and then there's a resolve. The new movies are just kind of like, straight suck all day, and they just end down.
Yeah,
just depressing.
Yeah,
It's hilarious when you go to movies. I don't know if people still do this, but they go, "That's not real. That can't really happen." And you're like, "I don't want that to be real or something that really happens." That's why I'm here watching.
Well, that's why Hallmark is huge, right?
Yeah. And Disney.
I mean, Hallmark is just in your face. Hey, we're going to be as cornball, and we're going to sell more.
Yeah,
more people going to stream us than anybody. Which is we're come running out of time. But speaking of streaming, I have been listening to the Office.
What's
it called? Diving Deep.
It's called the
Oral History of the Office with Brian Baumgartner, who played Kevin in the show.
Oh, okay, so it's different.
And it's really, really good.
It's really good.
And because Libby called me and she says, you know, these guys really do. This is the podcast just sounds really good in the way they do it. It's like a kind of an NPR kind of music and interview kind of a deal. Real laid back, very cool stories. But we can talk about that next time. Is that cool?
Yeah,
do that. Just kind of just some takeaways from that because I think it's really.
Are we going to really, try to be?
It's
like
been
them?
8 years since that the final.
Wow.
Eight years since the final episode.
But for us, it was just last year because we watched it so many times over and over and over.
Yeah. I started rewatching. Again, but it's like on Peacock, they have the Superfan episodes.
Yeah.
So it's long. So it's like the extended cut of them. Yeah.
Oh, so they add the deleted scenes?
Yeah. So you'll see all these scenes that like aren't in the original one. That's good.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating show and probably, if not the best.
Yeah.
It's pretty
the best network
Sometimes
show of all time.
I try and give up on it, but it just comes back around.
Well, so the interesting like about that, one of the many interesting things was just that was the transition from network TV to streaming shows and how people were consuming content differently. And they were just right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Kind of everything came together for that show.
So I think that literally is like for you too. Like, I always think of like, if like,
for me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think you could get famous nowadays just because there's so much of you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like you were kind of the first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, my first project was a VHS tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just
that
crazy.
Was like three generations ago for
like the people that like, cause you started what? 2003 full time.
2002.
2002, 2003, which is around the same time The Office started too. So it's like this whole new age of comedy.
Yeah. Yep.
And like all these people that like are on the cusp will probably be like well known the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Whereas like everyone's a comedian nowadays. So it's like they come and go type thing.
Well, like I was thinking about that too, is where we didn't really know what YouTube was. You start making content and then you get these guys, Trey Kennedy, John Crist, who just from the get go, they knew what to do.
Right.
They say, we're going to make content and we're just going to keep, we're going to just pound it out.
It.
And that's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah.
But like it was cool because you were mentored and advised by, Dan Ruppel knew what YouTube was. He's from out in LA. And he's like, you got to do this YouTube. Yeah. And we didn't even know what it was.
We got the best piece of advice and worst piece of advice. The worst piece of advice, this guy said, you'll never make money off the internet. And then Dan told us, you put everything on the internet.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to make money.
And today I was texting with Peggy, which is his wife. And she's like, so happy you're doing a podcast.
Oh, really?
Like,
yeah.
Tim's just unique and he's a guy and everybody's missing him.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really sweet. For her to encourage
people say that all the time. I think one thing that's interesting that you say too, which you might want to share, is the part about you don't care if people share your stuff, whereas a lot of people are like copyright all the
time. Oh, absolutely. When people first started bringing having camera phones or camcorders, you know, their own video equipment and bring it, I thought, well, they're stealing it. So when I saw it, I would get angry and I would like, say, you know, get mad at these people. But then, I realized real quick, that's what makes it go. There's a lot of comedians. Comedians have this thought process. They say, I would say, dude, you need to make a project, make a DVD, make a
special,
do a special. Like, no, I don't want, I'll have to burn my material.
Right.
Meaning they can't do that material anymore they've been working on, which is bogus and stupid.
Right.
I mean, yeah, maybe within a certain group, but no, for you don't really ask how many people are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, then if they want to see you do it live after they've heard you do it. Because
they'll say that about YouTube. They go, "We'll put your stuff on YouTube." You know, they'll say, "I want people to know who I am." "We'll put your stuff on YouTube." Then they'll know who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I learned. Yeah.
You used to say things in the beginning of the show. Like,
yeah, we would say,
videotape
We would we got to the point where on the intro, we would say, have the person say, "Okay, everybody, Tim says you can videotape and you can take pictures or whatever, but you got to promise when you get home that you'll upload it to Facebook."
Yeah.
Right. Woo!
So you get a bunch of.
Because
that's genius. You're used to going to a show where they're like, no photos.
Yeah, no flash photography.
No videotape.
Yes, that was totally revolutionary. Yeah. And then you're giving away for free because it's the Google model. It's Google.
Yeah. It is so.
And then they have certain services. Google is mostly free, but they have some services you can buy.
And I've had friends say, I was at this pastor's, my friend's church or my cousin's church, whatever, then your pastor was doing Tim's whole bit. And I told you, and you go, "Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad he was doing my whole bit."
Well, there were.
Or at Branson when they did your whole bit.
Yeah.
You're like, "Awesome."
There will be even people emailing, like, "Is it okay if I use this video for church?" And I'm always just like, "Yep, 100% go for it." Like,
yeah, everybody, this is just listen to me right now. If you're listening to the show, whatever I have, use it.
Yeah.
But don't sell it.
Use it.
Sell it. Who cares?
Someone did your whole
album. Make
money. Yeah.
And made a CD out of it and then tried to sell.
Yeah, that's a little push. That's a little push.
Too far, but.
Yeah. Maybe ask me for that one.
But he was a kid. So he didn't know.
Oh, I have one more thing to play for you and we'll finish up. Thank you guys again for doing this. We had burgers for dinner.
They were amazing.
They were really good. They're like perfect, like patty.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was
perfect patty.
Very puck-like. Ugh. Was that a stink bug? A lot of stink bugs. Okay, this is the last one. I just wanted to play this TikTok that cracked me up. Okay, this is it's got 3.8 million views, but it says, okay, "I heard your mom's name backwards is a nice name for your future daughter."
Of course.
That's what it is. "I heard your mom's name backwards is a nice name for your future daughter." Then they play this recording of this dog that's coming out of this lake. So this is, and it's the name is Carrie. Okay?
Okay.
There we go.
"Is a nice name for your future daughter, Carrie." "I heard your mum's name backwards is a nice name for your future daughter, Carrie." "I heard your mum's name."
Like the mom's name spelled out and then backwards.
But so that funny. What was saying that?
It was a dog.
Oh.
It was like a big Labrador coming out of come out of a pond. Get something in his throat. So, hey, there's one you can try, folks, for if you name your...
Mine would be Rita. Rita Skeeter. Heather, backwards, right?
Yeah,
Rita?
I think.
Okay, yeah.
Rita?
Well, technically kind not of? Her
or
first
no,
name.
But
Rita? Rita?
Like,
No, it wouldn't
whoever
be
Whoever Levi marries.
Because it's HT.
Oh, you
would
be my
daughter-in-law.
Father-in-law. Okay, well,
I think we're good, guys.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening.
Okay.
Cheers and blessings. Bye.